Public domain comic book theater.
We don't know about this.
I mean, this is about cowboys wandering in the snow. We're ninjas.
What does it matter? Cowboys, ninjas, thugs are thugs, no matter what costume they wear.
But we went to ninja school. We are trained professionals with specific skills.
And now you're professional thug types, which means you're in a western. You dress like it. So take off those pajamas and get into those dungarees.
But this is our calling.
St. Peter's going to be calling you two to the pearly gates if you don't go to wardrobe and change.
Who is St. Peter's?
Is he related to Francine?
Wardrobe!
All right.
Hey, what about you? What's with the diaper?
I'm Frontier Cupid. I'm the host for this episode. What? This thing don't ride up on me. And I get more respect with this big-ass pickaxe.
But...
Go! Go! Oh, we're on.
Welcome, buckaroos and buckaroo-ettes. Snow means 100 different things to 100 different people. To farmers, it's a nuisance. To children, it's a harbinger of Christmas. To poets, it's a white carpet of heavenly purity. But to the Corbett gang and Kid Cowboy...
Who? Look, he's a kid. And he's a cowboy. Pretty self-explanatory, I would think. Jeez, show some sense.
It was a battleground where the loser had to pay the supreme penalty for being outmaneuvered. One snowy afternoon before Christmas, Kid Cowboy and his Pawnee Indian blood brother Red Feather were hunting, but not exactly for the fun of it.
There he is, Kid. He's looking back at us.
Like any outlaw, that wolf's hanging on to his loot to the end. Well, this is the end.
You got him, Kid. Buying shooting. Right through the head. This wolf has raided his last herd.
Look at this wanted poster. It must have been put up only yesterday. The nails aren't even rusty. Link Corbett, $2,000 reward. Seen heading for... Hey, these are the Black Timber Mountains. The Corbett gang might be in this very neighborhood.
If so, they won't get far. The snow will turn into a blizzard. Posses and outlaws will both be slowed up. They'll be forced to find shelter. I have heard much about the Corbett gang. They are killers. Wild beasts who care no more about human life than if men were mosquitoes.
We can stop at that cabin if the blizzard gets worse. I know the man who lives there, Jim Reynolds, an old friend of Uncle Bill's. He's the friendliest man I know. He'd give you the shirt off his back.
Link, somebody's coming.
Come here, Reynolds. Send them away.
Why bother, boss? We can plug them easily from the window.
The sound of a shot carries a long way, and there are dozens of posses looking for us. We'll shoot when we have to. Now, get over to that door, Reynolds, and remember, talk smart. There's a six-shooter in your ribs.
Hi, Mr. Reynolds. This is my friend Red Feather. We've been out hunting and we were wondering if we couldn't come in for a while and warm ourselves up.
I'm sorry, boys, but, I'm afraid not. I'm short on food. Ain't got no coffee either. You better move on.
But the snow's getting thicker, Mr. Reynolds. We'd just like to rest for a spell before heading back. We're not very hungry, only cold. I noticed your chimney's going.
None of your business. You can't come in. Now get out of here and don't come back.
Did you say Mr. Reynolds was friendly?
He always used to be. I can't understand what's come over him. Something must have been bothering him for him to have yelled it like that and slammed the door in our face. What was that?
A pistol shot. Not at us, kid. From within the house.
Blast him, you fools! The old geezer's gone loco!
Swing around him so we can get a shot at him.
That's it!
Let me go, Red Feather. Something terrible's going on back there. Mr. Reynolds in trouble.
We can't help him now. Different gunshots mean too many men inside the house. Some from rifles, some from six guns. We'd be picked off like turkeys if we rushed back now.
You're right. To rush back would be suicide. Particularly if Link Corbett was on the trigger end of those guns.
Better we pretend we hear nothing and circle back to the rear of the house.
Look, Mr. Reynolds has company, all right.
From the looks of that hombre watching the horses, we can expect the worst.
I'll distract him while you nail him from behind.
I see you remember old Pawnee war tactics.
Hi there, partner. I think I'm lost. Could you point out the way to Ashtown?
All I'm pointing out is my sixer. Raise him, son. What are you doing around here?
You just got your answer. Jumping Cactus! They've killed Mr. Reynolds! And look who's standing over him!
Link Corbett. I recognize his face from the wanted poster. Come on, we'll go in the back way.
Link, you're a chump. The boss has got us all boxed in. And you yourself said our one chance of getting loose is for someone to guide us over the mountains. So what do? Murder the one guy who can take us across. Now we'll freeze to death up here and never get down.
Don't worry about it, lady. None of you are getting that far. Stick him up.
It's that kid who was here before.
Well, I ain't throwing my hands up to no brat. Gun them!
Let him have it, Red Feather.
You bet.
Well, Corbett, change your mind about surrendering? Or would you rather sprout wings?
You've got us. I've never seen such shooting.
There's only one kid I ever heard of that can shoot like that. Kid Cowboy.
I'm Kid Cowboy, and it happens I know you hyenas by reputation too. Your trademark is lying on the floor.
Reynolds brought it on himself by grabbing for my gun. But you ain't got us yet, kid. Not by a long shot. Sam, bring the girl out.
Hey!
It's Susan, Mr. Reynolds' daughter.
There's more to my reputation than just killing, kid. I'm smart. I always keep a second line of defense. Sam here will plug this pretty young thing right in the back if you don't drop your gun. Right, Sam?
Right as rain.
You wouldn't. That would be cold-blooded murder.
We're kind of used to murder, both cold and hot. Doesn't matter to us. We get hung just the same for one or 100 killings. Besides, me and the boys won't kill you and your pal. We need you as guides to take us over the mountain. You know these hills?
Like a book.
Don't listen to Corbett, kid. It's a trick. He'll kill us.
Under ordinary circumstances, sure. I'd kill you gladly. But not here, not today. We're dead pigeons if we don't get out of this posse trap. It's a Mexican standoff between you and me. No one wins.
All right, Corbett, we surrender.
No, kid.
Now release the girl.
You're making a bad mistake.
Oh, the kid's smart as a whip. He knows I ain't lying. You guys are my one hope of getting over the blizzard sweat mountains alive.
We're wasting time, Corbett. If we're to make it over the range, we need to start now, before the snow piles up over our ears.
The girl might head for the nearest sheriff, Link. Shall I kill her?
No. Please!
I'm a hair on that girl's head and deal's off.
Don't worry, kid. We're taking her with us, just in case you forget.
If you're going for your horses, forget it. You'll have enough trouble dragging your carcasses over the black timbers without taking your horses with you.
You heard the kid. He's in charge of the expedition all the way.
You're helping the outlaws to escape, kid? You must have got loco.
Thanks for accidentally helping me put up across my act. Of course I'm not going to take them over the range. They'll only thank us with a bullet to the head. This is part of my plan to blackmail them.
Blackmail them? How?
I'll take them on a wild goose chase until they're ready to drop from exhaustion and cold. When they're good and lost, and blizzard's at its height, I'll invite them to surrender or freeze to death.
I should have known the Kid Cowboy never really surrenders.
As the blizzard increases in fury... What? As the blizzard increases in fury, the hours that follow are a nightmare to the Corbett gang. As they slide, fall, and freeze in their trek across the treacherous peak.
That loud enough? We good?
Help me, someone.
My hands! I can't feel them no more.
I can't go on, Link. Can't take another step.
You gotta! Now get up, do you hear?
How much longer?
A few hours.
But the hours roll on.
No more, Link. I can't feel my legs.
I thought you said we'd be across by now. Where are we, curse you?
Where, Corbett? You're completely, hopelessly lost. I deliberately misled you. You'll never get off these mountains alive unless you surrender to me.
So, you double-crossed us. You'd get us in a corner, then all you'd have to do is collect all the pieces. Well, we ain't surrendering. Death by frost or death by hanging is all the same to me, you little skunk.
What about us, Link? Some of the boys and me won't hang. We only face prison. Let the kid take us to prison.
No! We're all sticking together no matter what. Tie him to the trees. If anyone's gonna freeze up here, it'll be them!
You fools! He's sacrificing the rest of you because he's afraid to hang. He can never lead you out of the mountains.
He's right. We're all gonna freeze on account of Corbett being yellow.
You're crazy, Corbett. You'll wander around in circles.
While you're slowly turning into icicles. Or maybe making a supper for some wolves. Keep thinking about the little lady. I'll use her as my shield if I run into the law.
Get off of me!
She dies with me up here if we don't make it.
Listen, Shorty. I know a way out of this trap.
10 minutes feel like...
What? Oh, come on. You hear that, Blizzard?
We just need it a little louder.
Really?
Fine. 10 minutes feel like 10 hours in the Maelstrom. That good enough?
Forgive me, Redfeather. I never thought Corbett would prefer suicide to the rope. I was sure some of his gang, those who only faced imprisonment, would rebel against him and force him to surrender.
You planned well, kid, except... Look! A grizzly bear is coming our way!
Shoot, Shorty! If that bear kills the boys, they'll ruin our only chance of getting out of here alive!
I hit him! He's turning around!
It's Corbett's girl and one of the outlaws. They wounded the grizzly, but it'll go after them now.
Run, man, run! 6 guns are useless against grizzly.
I can't stop him. He'll kill me.
I knew it. Only a rifle would stop a grizzly. Ma'am, give me that knife.
But what good is a knife against a grizzly bear?
Wait and see. We use an old Pawnee hunting trick.
By the time the grizzly returns, Kid Cowboy is standing on a tree limb, and Redfeather has fashioned a stout lasso out of his bonds.
He's going up, Redfeather. Give him the necklace.
There!
Wiry muscles pull, and the giant beast slips on the snow, just as Kid Cowboy leaps through the air, poised for the death stroke.
Be careful!
You mean be swift?
Is he dead?
Yes, dead as the poor devil who fired at him. He had 2 guns, kid. You take this one.
Thanks. Wait here, miss. Corbin might prefer to be taken dead rather than alive. orbit! Stop!
Now I see where Madge and Shorty disappeared to!
You're approaching a cliff edge! One more step and you'll fall to your death!
You lie! There's no cliff! Fire, guys! Kill him!
No!
Get off of me, you crazy woman! I'm gonna...
The kid wasn't lying! It is a cliff!
We're trapped. Okay, kid. You got us. Take us anywhere you want. Just get us out of this blizzard.
Even Ashton would look good to us.
That's ironic. Ashton is exactly where Corbett is now.
Yes. 1,000 feet below.
But he had to get there the hard way.
So, the remnants of the Corbett mob are brought back to civilization to get their just desserts. Thanks to the teamwork of the two inseparable blood brothers, Red Feather and Kid Cowboy.
Wait a minute.
What now?
That's it?
That's it.
But what about the Susan girl? What was she even doing here?
She was in the story. We actually had a dialogue for her, it being an audio medium and all.
She didn't have any dialogue? Why even have her in it then? Who wrote this crap?
We don't have a credit for the writer of that story, only the artist, and he's been dead for over 40 years.
That helps me about as much as a ticket to both fire festivals and a ride to Mars. Let me speak to the manager.
Can we get back to the outro? We're still rolling.
Still? Oh!
So, kiddies, pretty exciting, huh? And the thrills aren't gonna stop. So be sure to make your way down the trail next time for another adventure in the public domain.
Dang it! Didn't even get to do my pursued by a bear joke. When am I ever gonna be able to do that again?
You've been listening to The Corbett Gang, adapted by Thomas DJ and performed by the Akadekaganagon Theater Works. This audio play was based on the story penciled by Bob Brown, featured in the Ziff Davis comic Kid Cowboy No. 1, and is in the public domain. Chris Honeywell was horror host and Frontier Cupid. Chris Tyler was Fred the Ninja. Nicole Tomte was Gary the Ninja and the producer. Kira Hendricks was Kid Cowboy. David Ellis was Red Feather. Lex Zorn was Mr. Reynolds. Eugene R. Hendricks was Link Corbett. Sarah Palmero was Madge. James Hickson III was Ombre. Luke Giaconetti was Sam. Casey Budnott was Susan. And Thomas DJ was the Grizzly. If you enjoyed this story, it and many other comic books in the public domain are available at digitalcomicmuseum.com. Please visit and support them. Please visit the 8TW at 8TW.blogspot.com for news on upcoming and current projects. Until next time, good night.
I want to talk to her. This instant.
Talk to who?
Who do you think, Hark? The producer.
It's dark.
What now?
What are all these kids doing around here? I hate kids.
Have you read the script?
I don't have time for that now that the dog track's open late.
The story we're adapting is about the Kid Crusaders. It's a comedic kid gang story, which means it stars kids.
Yeah, I don't work with kids. It's in my contract.
Oh, yeah. About that. Remember when you renegotiated your contract a few episodes back?
Yeah, so?
Well, to accommodate your demands for pay raises and back-end points and a larger bowl of antacid in your dressing room, remember we requested you make some concessions?
Yeah, I guess so. I wasn't really paying attention except to all that sweet, sweet gold.
Well, your concessions included dispensing with the No Children or Animals clause. And the costume approval writer.
You fiend! It does explain the short pants you gave me.
It looks like you've been hoisted on your own petard, my friend.
I'll host you, you...
Language! And we're on.
Hello, fellow kids. It's your old pal. The little narrator.
Do the voice.
How much of my dignity are you going to take from me?
Just do the voice.
Meet the Kid Crusaders. Youthful challengers of crime in their daring crusade against evil. And what a crusade, especially when the field of battle is the Hotel Harmony, that extraordinary place where there's never a peaceful moment. Naturally...
Really? That's this kid's name.
Just...
I know.
Fisty the Newsboy!
You know, this sounds like an entirely different kind of comic. Hey!
The lady said do the voice!
Alright, alright. This is hell.
Freckles the Bellhop and Ginger, the little witch girl who lives in the hotel, are all on the lookout for trouble of any kind. But little do they expect the astonishing adventure that follows their strange encounter with the man who never left. Outside the Hotel Harmony, Fisty is selling his newspapers with exciting news.
Wexley, all about the guy who never lives.
Well, what do you know? Ralph Barton, the eccentric millionaire, is in town.
Just imagine! They say this poor fella's never left in his life!
He's been globetrotting for the last 10 years looking for a laugh. Rather even a sniggle.
What's the rumpus about, Fisty?
Ain't you heard? A guy named Barton just pulled into town. He's a big potato on account of he never left. Piper's picture. Personally, I feel sorry for the chump.
He sure looks down in the dumps.
Pipe that fancy buggy.
It's him. It's Mr. Barton. He's gonna check into the hotel.
I hope you enjoy your stay here, Mr. Barton. We'll do our best to make things jolly for you.
Don't make me laugh, son. All I need is some sleep. Been lying awake for weeks, trying to think of something funny. Life is very sad. Very sad indeed.
Jiminy, there must be something that can make you laugh, Mr. Barton. What about laughing gas?
Tried that last year, my child. Didn't work. Had the saddest dreams for months after.
There ain't nothing to making a guy laugh. I can prove it to you.
Go ahead and try, my boy. But it won't work. I'm even offering a reward of $10,000 to anyone who can make me laugh.
The next day finds strange characters swarming through the hotel.
I'm Daffy Longlegs. Kindly announce me to Mr. Barton.
Hey, hold your horses. I was here first.
All these characters barging into our establishment gives me the jitters. Who asked them here?
They heard about the 10 grand Barton promised to the first person who handed him a laugh, Detective McGonagall.
And what shenanigans are you kids up to? Furthermore, you know dogs ain't allowed in this joint.
We're gonna collect that dough. See you later, Mr. McGonagall.
Meanwhile, at Mr. Barton's suite...
Just couldn't laugh, boys. Guess it's my fault. Who's next?
I've never seen such a deadpan.
You are now beholding the biggest challenge to gravity ever attempted.
Yes, that tightrope walker isn't slim.
Help! Let us out! Get a Derek! Somebody!
Oh my! So sorry you fell. Hope you didn't hurt yourself.
What? I don't get the joke. It's nuts.
Come on, boys. Let's check it.
Greetings, Mr. Bodden. How's Trix?
Don't feel so well. Just had a shock. Lady had an accident.
Mr. Bodden, I want you to meet Lingo, the dog that talks.
Hello, Mr. Bodden. I'm glad to meet you.
Excuse me for getting so maudlin, Lingo. But you remind me of my old dog who died last year. Never saw a more striking resemblance.
Can you beat that?
Personally, I was certain it would work. And it turned out to be a real tearjerker.
I guess Mr. Bodden is a hopeless case. We better give up.
Yeah. And look at that guy laughing at us. That burns me up. What's the joke, bloke?
I used to be as sad as you, but that was before I went to Dr. Pepper's, the laughing clinic, and got cured. I've been laughing ever since. Here's the address. Find Dr. Pepper and you'll laugh yourself silly. Yep, he's my boy.
Now we're getting places. Let's go.
Wasn't we?
From your description, Mr. Barton's case sounds like a very complicated one. Very complicated.
But you're the only one that can help the guy, Mr. Dr. Pepper.
However, I like difficult cases. You may tell Mr. Barton that I guarantee to cure him. As a matter of fact, I will wager him $10,000 that I will have him laughing this Saturday night and in public.
Dr. Pepper, you're A-double-one.
The challenge is accepted. So, on that Saturday night...
It's 8 o'clock. The doctor ought to be here any minute.
Here he comes now.
How do you do, Dr. Pepper? Mr. Barton is expecting you. I'll take you to his suite.
Excellent. I want to start at once.
You're just in time, Mr. and Mrs. Danderbelt. Dr. Pepper is about to begin his demonstration.
All society is here tonight, I believe. The better class of people, that is.
Hey, McGonagall, we want to see the show.
Sorry, kids. There's no more room. Furthermore, it's time for children to be in bed.
You dirty double-crossing flatfoot!
Did you hear that? Children. He called us children.
I'll murder the bum!
Hold on, Fisty. There's a skylight in Mr. Barton's room. Let's go to the roof. This is perfect. We got the top seats in the house.
Hey, look. Dr. Pepper's starting to do his stuff.
I am now about to begin my amazing cure of Dr. Barton. I predict you'll be laughing wholeheartedly in exactly 2 minutes.
Very sad. Very sad. Won't work. Very sad.
Why, those dirty lugs? And just when the show was gonna begin.
They're not getting anywhere with this. Not with the Kid Crusaders around. Come on, let's grab them.
But just as the Kid Crusaders are about to jump into the womb.
Look! Barton's laughing!
He's cured! He's a genius.
The holdup was just part of Pepper's cure, and it worked!
Barton's laughing!
This is just too funny for words!
I haven't had this much fun in years!
Okay, you can have my wad of dough, and any chicken feed I got. What a gag!
Even the Kid Crusaders double over with laughter.
Hot diggity. Pepper sure knows how to wow them off their seats.
This murders me.
He's scrambunctious. one of those mugs. He's the laughing boy who gave us Dr. Pepper's address. His mask dropped off. He can't fool me.
That's him, all right.
But he told us he hadn't seen Dr. Pepper in 2 years.
Hey, then what are we laughing at? This is one time he's going to laugh so hard he's going to be in stitches.
Something's going to crack your face, and it won't be a smile.
And now, you meddling whippersnappers, hand over the bag of valuables to Dr. Pepper. I'm sure he wants to return them to their owners.
You say so, McGonagall.
But you're making a mistake.
Thank you, McGonagall. That's exactly what we're after. The valuables, and make it snappy.
Let me have that swag, you brats.
Certainly. You can have it. Like this!
You got more business coming this way. This, for instance.
Here's one, and I'll tickle your funny bone. You old fraud?
Well, what do you know? Looks like I was right in the first place. Never did like the idea of all these characters in this hotel.
Gosh, McGonagall. You're simply wonderful.
Furthermore, wait till management hears how I got these crooks in tow. I'll get a raise. Of course, you kids will tell them all about how I did it.
Certainly we'll tell them, McGonagall. After all, he was the best flatfoot in the business.
Say the lines.
Save it. Is that it?
That is it.
So this goofball hotel detective takes all the credit for the kids' hard work. And the kids get nothing? None of them has any future except maybe the girl because she's rich. And Fisty because he sure has...
Say the words.
No. You may be able to force me into little pants and make me deal with these rotten little brats. But I do have limits to my dignity, you know. For all I know, we're violating child labor laws or some such, and besides, a hotel dick is a dick! Someone ought to...
That's enough out of you.
Hey! You can't do that to my... Well, we're not friends exactly, but...
Zip it, cabbage head, or you'll get the same, and then some.
We're taking over. After all, who knows what kids want to hear better than kids?
Don't trust anybody over 12.
Oh my.
Down with the adults!
Cut to credits!
They're at the door!
Cut to credits!
Down with the adult tyranny! Yay.
Fuck you, I won't do what you told me. Fuck you, I won't do what you told me.
You've been listening to The Man Who Never Laughs, adapted by Thomas DJ and performed by the Akadakaganagon Theater Works. Produced by Thomas DJ, Chris Honeywell, and Nicole Tomte. Sound design by Chris Honeywell. This audio play was based on the story with art by Mort Meskin and was featured in the Spark Publications comic Atoman No. 1 and is in the public domain. Chris Honeywell was horror host. Thomas DJ was Dork and Lingo, the dog who talks. Nicole Tomte was producer and Mrs. Danderbilt. David Ellis was Fisty. Lex Zorn was businessman and Shorty. Chris Tyler was Old Duffer, Daffy Longlegs, and Clown Clown. Vanessa Van Zare was Old Dufferette and Debutante. Kira Hendricks was Ginger. Casey Boudinot was Freckles. Eugene R. Hendricks was Barton. Tim Price was McGonagall. Dan Machuca was Clowny. Teresa Burnside was Corpula. Luke Giaconetti was Laughing Boy. Jim Moon was Dr. Pepper. Jameel McKinney was aide-de-camp. If you enjoyed this story, it and many other comic books in the public domain are available at digitalcomicmuseum.com. Please visit and support them. Please contact us at 8twinfo@gmail.com and join the conversation in the 8TW Discord. You can find the invite at 8tw.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening, and good night.